Well, again, it's great to be with you today, and we have heard a lot of good things about the New Beginning Church, and please know that Sarah and I pray for you and pray for your pastor and his family, and I know God has done and will continue to do great things right here in New Beginnings. And here we are, 8 days in a brand new year, and I was telling my congregation last Sunday that, you know, 20 years ago, 25, 30 years ago, if we would have thought that we would have cracked open the year of 2017, we probably would have just shook our heads and said, we'll never see 2017. But here we are. God has blessed us with this brand new year, and we are excited to see where he's going to take us. Well, in my devotional scripture reading this week, I was directed to a passage of scripture that is probably very familiar with you. It is in Luke chapter 11, the first 13 verses. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. In verse 1 day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. This scripture is the first of three segments in the first 13 verses. Then the second segment begins with verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on the journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked. And my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. In other translations, the word audacity there is translated to persistence. We are persistent in knocking until someone answers the door. Then the third segment begins in verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son would ask for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I want us to focus on verse 13 today. That if we ask God to give us the power of the Holy Spirit, he will. Thank God for it. Father, I pray that you would be with us now in the furtherance of this service. Anoint your servant today. Open up our hearts and minds to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in your name. Amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to go back to each of these segments, and now I want to read to you the scripture in the New American Standard Bible. And the first segment is that of prayer. We have just exercised our privilege of praying to the Heavenly Father by praying the Lord's Prayer as a congregation just a few moments ago. And this is exactly when they ask, Father, teach us to pray. These are the instructions that he gave. This is how you are to pray. And in the NASB, it says, it happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. give us each day our daily bread. In other words, bread for the coming day, or needful bread. As we need bread, Father, give that to us. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Let me ask a question. It's okay to answer it out loud. How many of you have ever been tempted? How many of you have been tempted today? Well, this day is not over. Before this day is over, I dare say that in some way, some form, some fashion, you will be tempted. And the reason is, that is a trick of the enemy himself. The devil knows that you are walking with Christ, but if he can throw a hurdle in front of you and cause you to stumble and cause you to fall, so no wonder Jesus said, when you pray, pray this prayer, lead me not into temptation. We are all going to be tempted. I thought that when I reached 60 years of age, all temptation would stop. Well, it hasn't happened. I'm 60 years old, and I'm still tempted. That's why I too must pray, Father, lead me not into temptation. From the Asbury Bible Commentary, the Lord's Prayer is normally said in a form similar to that of Matthew chapter 6. In Luke's gospel, it is shorter and more informal than in Matthew. It addresses God as Father rather than as our Father. Father is the equivalent of the Aramaic Abba uttered by Jesus in Gethsemane in the book of Mark. Abba was a mode of address to one's human father and was considered too informal to use in speaking to God, for whom our Father was thought more appropriate. But Jesus addressed God as Abba in this version of the Lord's Prayer and encouraged his disciples to do so. When we pray, say, Abba, Father. You see, the prayer gives glory to God, whose name is holy. God wants all of our praise, all of our honor, all of our worship, because he is a holy God. It looks for the coming of God's kingdom and inwardly in the heart and outwardly on the earth. It also asks for God's forgiveness, but expects those who pray to show mercy to others. How many times we are tempted that we want someone to forgive us. Ultimately, when we pray that God forgive us, he will forgive us. But when it comes time for us to forgive others, sometimes we throw up the card, but Pastor, you don't know what they've done to me. You don't know what they've said. You don't know how these people has caused my life, my family to hurt. And Jesus said, if you want to be forgiven, you too must learn to forgive. Amen. And you know, it doesn't bother me at all for you to respond by saying amen or hallelujah or keep preaching. It's okay. Now, you may not want to say keep preaching, because I probably will. And sometimes it can get lengthy, but Jacob has given me instructions when to cut it off. Not really. It seeks deliverance from temptation, and the most serious temptation is to abandon loyalty to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I know all of us, our lives are packed, our lives are busy, but if Satan can get us to abandon our loyalty to Christ, then he has succeeded. And that's why you and I have to work very hard to stay close to the Lord in our relationship. We can't go to the left. We can't go to the right. We have to keep our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. Thank God that we can keep our eyes focused on him. The old hymn says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in light of his glory and his grace. Thank God for his glory and for his grace. John Wesley described the Lord's Prayer uttered from the heart as the badge of a real Christian. Thank God he taught us how to pray. Then secondly is the parable. We find that in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8. For the sake of time, we'll not read that again, but this is a parable that Jesus uses to illustrate his point. And from the Asbury Bible Commentary, the parable of the friend at midnight in verses 5 through 8 affirms that God will answer persistent prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, how's your prayer life today? Now, all of us need to take inventory. Here we are, 8 days into a brand new year, and I know my prayer life needs to be better. I need to focus more on getting alone with God. And what we're saying here today, it's not just prayer, but it is persistent prayer. We can't stop praying. Sometimes our prayers are not being answered, and sometimes we get weary in well-doing. We do pray, and we know we ought to pray, but we're not as persistent as we need to be. Here is a scene. A Palestinian family is living in a one-room house. Husband and wife, children, sleep together on the same mattress. Another commentary that I used said that there were many mats in the house, and the families were quite large, and the homes were quite small. And a neighbor knocks on the door asking for a loaf to feed a friend who has just arrived. The husband is reluctant to be disturbed since the rest of the family would also be awakened. Now, when I don't know if you do, but first, when I read this passage, I'm thinking, how rude of this guy. Why wouldn't he just get up and answer the door, say, how can I help you? But we understand, we have to understand that the setting is not in a home like you and I live in. It is a small one-room house. Everybody is sleeping around what fire they have there to keep warm. And so if one is disturbed, the whole household is disturbed. But when the neighbor persists, he gives them the loaf. So, says Jesus, if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. What are you asking for these days? What are you asking God for? Now, sometimes we ask him for what we want. He didn't say that he would supply us with our wants. He did say he would supply our every need. What are you asking God for today? What's happening in your life? What's happening in your family? What's happening at your job? What's happening with your friends? What's going on with your church? What are you asking God for? You have not because you ask not. God wants us to ask. Not only does he want us to ask, God wants us to keep knocking. He wants us to knock on the door. God wants us to be persistent. Don't stop knocking. Don't stop seeking. Just keep knocking because God's listening and he will be faithful. Hallelujah. And then the third aspect is the power. Luke 11, 9 through 13. Let's go to verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. I've heard today from the Apostles' Creed and the songs that Kevin, right? That Kevin was leading us into about the Holy Spirit. As I sat there today, I began to weep because I had no idea what the songs and the direction of this service was going to be. But I believe that God prepared our heart for this specific service. And a lot of the elements of the service is wrapped up right here in this message and from the scripture that we have read today. I believe that God wants us to realize how much we need the power of the Holy Spirit, and all we have to do is ask him for it. Again, from the Asbury Bible Commentary, it says Jesus did not mean that people will receive everything they ask for in prayer. I don't put much stock in the people who have the name it, claim it type of philosophy. I do believe that God answers prayer, but I don't believe that if we name it and claim it just because we've done that, Jesus is somehow obligated to give us what we've prayed for. He may, but he may not. But his teaching in 11, 9 through 13 reaches its climax in the promise that prayer for the Holy Spirit will be answered in the affirmative. God is more than willing to give us this most important of gifts if we only ask him. All we have to do is ask for the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, and He will give it to us. From the New Spirit-Filled Life Bible, the verses in 11 through 13, Jesus encourages prayer by reminding us of the nature of the one to whom we are praying. Who are we praying to? We are praying to the living God. If faulty human parents will meet the real needs of their children instead of deceiving them with harmful gifts, how much more can we expect our Heavenly Father to bless us with the best gift, the Holy Spirit, as well as the other gifts? Our primary needs are spiritual, and a proper relationship with God through the Holy Spirit is a ground of assurance that He will provide both spiritual and material needs. Here's the good news, this 8th day of January, that God knows exactly where we are today. He knows what we need. He knows what puts your back against the wall. He knows what discourages you. And God said, I am still on the throne. He hears and answers prayer. We serve a living God today. He knows exactly what you need today and is able to supply your every need. Amen. Isn't that good news? That just makes me want to keep serving Him because He's such a good God. This is adapted, you may be aware of Dr. Bill Bright, the co-founder of Campus Crusade for Christ. This is adapted from his book, Transferable Concept, How You Can Be Filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's what he says. As the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, they received a divine supernatural power that changed them from fearful men to radiant witnesses for Christ. Oh, my prayer is, God, help me not to be a fearful man, but instead change me to a radiant witness for Jesus Christ. He doesn't want us to be fearful and afraid. He wants us to be consumed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And all we have to do is ask Him. As they were used of God to change the course of history, and this same omnipotent power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is available to you to enable you to live a holy and fruitful life for Jesus Christ. Yet, tragically, multitudes of Christians do not even know who the Holy Spirit is. Or if they do, they do not know how to appropriate His power. Consequently, they go through life without ever experiencing the abundant and fruitful life which Christ promised to all who trust Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, what kind of life spiritually are you living? Are you just maintaining? Are you just getting by? God doesn't want that for you. God wants you to have a radiant, spirit-filled life for Christ, and that happens when you ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. An old Church of the Nazarene writer, teacher, philosopher, Richard S. Taylor, in his book, Life in the Spirit. What does it mean then to be filled with the Spirit? It means a complete penetration of the Spirit into the whole man, followed by a complete continuing control of the whole man. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm wondering today what would happen to us, what would happen to this church if we allowed the Holy Spirit to penetrate our life. That's what I want. That's what I pray for. That's what I long for. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's all about God. It's all about the power of the Holy Spirit and what God wants to do in your life. And all you have to do is open your life up and say, I want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He is strengthened by the might, by His Spirit in the inner man, Christ does indeed dwell in the heart by faith, and He does become rooted and grounded in love, Ephesians chapter 3. The idea of fullness suggests this, Taylor says, the inwardness of the Spirit's presence, the totality of the Spirit's possession, the overflow of the Spirit's power. I want the power of the living God to fall fresh in my life. I've been serving the Lord for many years, but I don't want to ever get to the place where I feel like I'm just maintaining and just getting by. I need a fresh anointing of the power of God's Spirit every day of my life. Again, what would happen if our churches would allow the Holy Spirit of God to penetrate into us deep enough that we realize we must be filled with this thing called the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're familiar, I'm sure you are, with Jim Cimbala. On October 11, 2014, he wrote an article entitled "Experiencing the Power of the Holy Spirit." And as we conclude this message, listen to what he says. When is the last time you experienced the reality of God's presence? Our days are often so hectic that I'm afraid we don't much find time to seek after the Lord's presence. All you have to do is ask and knock and seek. We need to seek after the presence of God. After hitting the snooze button too many times, we crawl out of bed and we're late before we even get started. The rest of the day is spent catching up, getting things done, and crossing them off our to-do list. By the end of the day, our bodies and minds are exhausted, but little attention has been given to our spiritual side. If we are not familiar with God's presence, how will we hear Him when He speaks? We already have God's unchangeable truth in Scriptures, but what we need is the Spirit's life and power. Cimbala then talks about Samuel hearing a voice in the night and thought it was Eli and went to him two times, but it wasn't Eli. It was the Lord trying to get Samuel's attention. The third time, Eli told Samuel to say to the Lord, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Listen, what would happen if that's the prayer we pray? Speak, God, for your servant is listening. The New Beginning Church is listening. The Fortville Church of the Nazarene is listening. Speak to me, God. Talk to me. God spoke words of warning and direction and encouragement to Samuel as he spent time in the Lord's presence. The Holy Spirit did the same to Philip, Peter, Paul, and others in the New Testament book of Acts. Cimbala goes on to say religion was a predictable, mechanical affair with priests and sacrifices, but little of the living God. Superficial religion was corrupting the nation, but the God of Israel rescued His people and turned things around. And He can do it again right now for us. Wouldn't you like to see God turn us around? I mean that we would become so radical, falling in love with Him and the Spirit of the living God, that we would allow Him to penetrate our beings and all that we are. But it must begin with someone, even a boy, becoming acquainted with and treasuring the presence of the Lord. In Eli's day, God was everywhere, as is true today. But His manifest or revealed presence, which usually means His blessing, was absent. What's worse is that no one seemed to miss it. Ladies and gentlemen, have we become so calloused in our walk with Christ that we don't even miss the presence of the Holy Spirit? Listen, the Church of the Nazarene and the church around the world, not just that denomination, there's a lot of different styles of worship. This style of worship is wonderful. I enjoy coming here and worshiping with you because it's so different. If you would come to Fortville, Church of the Nazarene, you would probably sit there in the middle of service and say, "What just hit me?" It's different. But what is not different is the power and the presence of an almighty God that wants His children to become so close to Him and filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit that we recognize when we walk in this church or any other church. Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't feel the presence of God, then this is just another building. And God hasn't called this to be another building. God has called this place to be filled with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And when people walk in these doors, they'll stop and say, something is different here. Something's happening in this place. I'll tell you what's happening. It's the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. I'm about to get blessed. Thank you, God, for your presence. You know, great worship set, great worship team today. I wish I could preach this message to every worship team. Do you understand the importance of what you do? I'm sure you do. You set the stage of worship. It is so important. And you need to pray, and I know you do, but you need to pray every time you come up here to participate in worship. Oh, God, it's not about me. It's about you. We don't need to see my presence. We need to see the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. Without the presence of God, they may as well sing Jolene, Jolene, and you picked a fine time to leave me Lucille. Just another song. But when God's power, when God's presence is in this place, and you are prayed up, and you are coming to this place because you are here to worship, I'm telling you, the power and the presence of God is real. And today we need the filling. We need the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We become so full of ourselves, but what we need to be full of is the Holy Spirit. What is it in your life that's crowding out the presence of the Holy Spirit? Nothing is worth that. I don't know what it is. And I have to take inventory and pray in my own life. Spirit of the living God, what is it that's pushing you out? I don't want to push the very thing out that will cause me to be a vibrant Christian. And the only way that you can be a vibrant Christian is to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the Church of the Nazarene alludes to that and talks to that about sanctification, a life of holiness. That's the way I was raised. That's the way we were brought up. And I believe that. But I want you to understand what that means is you letting go of your own life and saying, I need the Holy Spirit to control me. I need the Holy Spirit to be filled, to fill my life and to be full in my life. That's what we need to be praying. The presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. I was appreciative of the song that Kevin led us in. Again, I know the Holy Spirit orchestrated this service. Come, Spirit of the living God. Come, fall fresh on me. Come, wake me from my sleep. Here's what scares me. We come to church Sunday in, and Sunday night, you know what we're doing? We're spiritually sleepwalking. We go through all the motions. We come and do all the right things and say the right prayers and do everything that we're supposed to do. But down inside, you are a sleeping giant, and we need to be awake through the power of the Holy Spirit. And only the Spirit can do that. He wants to fill your life to overflowing. Well, in just a moment, Kevin and the worship team's going to come. In fact, why don't you come? And they're going to sing a song entitled, Lord, I Need You. Now, again, our styles of worship may be different. I don't know how often you use the altars. I'm just glad to see a church that still has an altar. You don't have to come up here and pray. You can pray anywhere you want to pray. You can be in the bathroom and God's going to hear your prayer. But this is a great place in this setting. It's a place set aside called the altar that we just come and kneel before him and pray. Here's what I'd like to challenge you today. I would like, first of all, for you to admit, Lord, I really do need you. I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if there's somebody here that would just say, Pastor, I'm going through a tough time. Things in my life isn't really where they need to be. I don't know what's happening in your life, but the Holy Spirit does. You may be going through a real battle, and today you just need to spend some time. What a wonderful place of worship like we're in today to just come and kneel before God and just say, Lord, I need you, and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't make it without him. Folks, we need him. I want us to stand. And as we stand, I see the children are approaching to come in this sanctuary. That's wonderful. But as Kevin and the worship band sings, if the Holy Spirit is talking to you saying, you need to allow me to fill your life up, this would be a great time for you just to come and spend some time around these altars and just pray and ask God to meet you right at the point of your need. Kevin, lead us in this song.